At Total Wine & More, find the best gifts for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for sis or a single barrel bourbon that dad will love. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Where can you find the best gifts at great low prices that everyone will love? At Total Wine & More, of course, with so many great bottles to choose from. Find something for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for your sis, sparkling wine for a coworker, or a single barrel bourbon for dad. And if you need any help, just ask one of their friendly guides for advice. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
Some of the food smelled and tasted like parts of your body after not taking a shower for a week.
I think Alinea and Nex can stick their e-tickets up their butt.
The staff sang happy birthday to not one, but two different parties. What is this, TGI French Laundry?
Sober me rates this Taco Bell 4 stars. Drunk me rates it 6.9 stars. Add the hot sauce and you get 5 stars.
The meat is questionable for sure, but there's just something about these little baby-sized burgers that are so good. Maybe it's the novelty of eating food that makes your hand look giant-sized in comparison. Maybe it's the chicken rings that are peppered with crack. Hi, and welcome to Burnt Toast from food52.com, a podcast about all the things that don't make it onto our website, but that we're all talking about otherwise. When we're in the office, grabbing coffee together, or cooking in our kitchen. I'm Meryl Stubbs, president and co-founder of Food 52, and I'm here with our COO, Bridget Williams. Hey, Bridget.
Hi, Meryl. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Bridget is not only a super savvy business person, but a serious home cook and avid diner outer in her own right. And our special guest today is Adam Platt, the longtime restaurant reviewer at New York Magazine. Adam, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
Today, we're going to talk to Adam about his job, which I think many people view as a dream job. I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that.
No.
I'm getting the sense he doesn't agree.
But we're really going to talk about what it's like to be a professional critic in the middle of a already massive and burgeoning group of amateur critics. I mean, in this age when everyone is really a critic.
Okay.
Which I know you believe because you've written about
it. The line is, and I think it's somewhat true. Actually, it's very true, is that everybody's a critic these days.
That being said, do you ever go to places like Yelp to check out what people are saying about a restaurant before you go? Let's say you're not, you know, not on the job, but you're just looking to go out to dinner.
Let me ask you this question. Do you?
I have.
Do you all the time?
I have. Not all the time.
I really don't.
You really don't?
I really don't.
Truly.
I don't because usually, I mean, I got nothing against Yelp. I like Yelp. I think Yelp is, I would describe Yelp as today's equivalent of Zagat's. Even though Zagat's exists, Yelp is a very facile, easily navigable database for finding addresses, phone numbers, groups, what. But, you know, again, I'm a jaded professional critic. Everybody has opinions. And also, just professionally, for me, I would like to go in without any preconceived notions, although my view is that what you read on Welp. Is that taken? Let's take that.
That's amazing.
Welp.com. Well,
so no. Like, that would be good. Like, the opposite of Yelp would be what? Duh. I didn't like. So anyway, Yelp, yeah, I don't know. I really don't. Because, again, I am not going as a consumer, so that's one.
But if you are, you must.
Sure, I might. I guess I might.
You're on vacation in Pittsburgh with your family.
Right.
You have one night out.
Right.
I'm not paid for.
I'm not going to Yelp.
So where do you go?
I'm going to the local critic, whoever he may be or she.
Wow.
That's who I'm going.
So you really do believe in.
Yeah.
What is it about critics that you believe in?
I'm biased. I am going to the local city magazine first. If it's internationally, I'm going to Michelin.
My question for you is, like, you know, I represent the unwashed masses here. So I'm going to dinner with you, and I have opinions. And when you're sitting with people who are not critics, and you hear them talking about the food, where do we go wrong? Like, where
you don't. I listen to you assiduously. I actually view myself as writing for the consumer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And certainly in New York, the people that I go out with, or you guys, you've all been to restaurants around New York, so your tastes are quite sophisticated, relatively. So I listen to what you're saying. You know, and it's not hard. It's like, oh, this tastes bad. Oh, this shrimp is overdone. It's not that hard. And like, so I will listen. And if people say, you know, if everybody is, you know, I don't write that many negative reviews, but often it's a result of basically everybody at the table going, you know, blech.
Right.
So I listen. I do listen.
Well, I was listening to the long form podcast and you were on recently.
Yeah.
And you talked about seeing your role really as providing entertainment as well as kind of utility for your readers, right?
Yeah, it's a fashion choice. I mean, it's like my way of doing it is the way I've described. But you have to be really smart to do that.
Which you
are.
You
have to know your rutabagas. No, yeah, you're right. Well, I know restaurants. You know, I've been to a lot of restaurants. So,
but do you feel like the way that you look at your role as a food critic makes you more kind of accepting of this sort of crowdsourced criticism than other food critics who might be see their role a little bit differently?
But except that I'm not accepting of it. However, you're right. I mean, it's like I do that in mini. I'm more accepting. Well, the whole thing is that critics, I mean, we can argue about this also, and certainly in the restaurant world, whether their power has waned over time.
That's going to be my next question.
And I think the answer is yes and no. You know, what's happened, I've had this job for 15 years, 14 years. In that time, there's been this huge change where the grand restaurants opened in a more formal way when I first started this job. In fact, when I started the job, that whole world was about to collapse. And of course, in the last 10 years, that whole world's gone haywire. Mm-hmm. It's not just the cooks who run the show now, it's the kitchen slave cooks.
Mm-hmm.
And they have opened restaurants. They don't open them formally. They open them helter-skelter in God knows where, all over the place, at all times, everywhere. These restaurants, no matter where you go, are full. They're not full because some critic said they were there. They're full because it's up on the internet. People go. They're neighborhood. It's just a madhouse. So the ability of the lordly critic to cut through that, I think it probably is probably not as great as it was. But I think the critic also performs a useful service to people who are interested in this stuff. You know, I know that when I'm interested, like I said, in movies or books, I read critics. And I think that it's still true. It's still true in the food world.
Because the openings are like that, are there less flops? Everybody loves a good flop story.
Yeah, I know. I think there are less flops, unless it's like a sort of a. Even then, I mean, it's like you look at Pete Wells' hilarious review of Guy Fieri.
That's where my mind was going.
And that was like a setup, really.
Yeah,
I loved it, like everybody else. I think Pete was very, you know, very smart, but I don't sense that restaurant's failing. I don't think he drew dry.
Right.
I think the opposite happened.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm curious. Yeah.
You know, and so you don't get like, I think a lot, you know, it happens. You know, people are going out for different reasons. The older generation went out for show and for status, and they didn't mind having people dressed up in bow ties explaining to them that they should eat this weird stuff in funny accents, mm-hmm. and like just doing it. Or that, by the way, critics telling them to do that too. They didn't mind it. Their kids not only don't they mind it, they like they really don't care. They would much rather go. It's like the Starbucks generation. They grew up, you know, they're sort of entitled. They grew up on good food, sort of. And they grew up in making their own choices and indulging themselves. So they'll educate themselves, they'll go wherever they want, they'll enjoy whatever they want. So you have these restaurants which are like they're all pretty good. The old cliche is that they're, and it's not a cliche, it's actually sort of true. You know, there are 4-star restaurants don't open in New York anymore, so it's just a tsunami of 2-star restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all pretty good. And so you can try and pick on them and attack them. But I don't know that it's going to have the kind of impact as if it were, the stakes were so high where it's a 4-star.
Anyways, so millennials are ruining everything. I'm going to sum up what you said.
I know the last four, you know, I can't think of the 4-star. I mean, I, The four-star restaurants, the whole template has changed. So the four-star, the fancy food now is all these little counters. Mm-hmm. It's a much more controlled environment. It's a much more intimate environment. It's a much cheaper environment, although obviously the meals cost a huge amount of money. And, you know, it's all done on the sort of the Japanese omakase. Mm-hmm. It's really, that's sort of mm-hmm. how you do it. That's economical.
Yeah.
It's economical and it's satisfying, sort of. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, they close it. But it's not this high stakes, yeah, Le Bernardin.
So are you sad about the four-star
No,
losses?
It's my world. I was not part of that world, really. You know, I'm not part of the frame. I mean, I grew up, I grew up all over the world, mostly in Asia, actually, as a kid. I did not grow up in that sort of grand tradition. My own taste is, I think, more in line with what's going on today. It's sort of polyglot fusion. We don't even call it fusion anymore. I mean, David Chang is as fusion a cook as you can get. Nobody calls him that.
No.
Fusion is an old style weirdo word.
Yeah,
but that's what
not
he
a
is.
Positive
that's,
word.
But that's what he is. You
yeah,
know?
No, absolutely.
And many other great chefs, and you know that's what Eric Ripert is these days. But anyway, I'm more comfortable with that.
So can we go back to the idea of they're really not being pans yeah. anymore.
Sorry, I digress a little
no,
bit.
No, no,
no. No, you can pan.
I was going to bring up your review from last week.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you describe that?
Well, it got some reactions.
Yeah, it did. Yep.
And I think it was really interesting to me because now that people can comment
yep.
on your reviews online
yep.
publicly,
yep.
that's basically like another form of a review,
fire
right?
Away.
Their comments.
Fire away.
Well, no, I'm interested yeah. to hear what you how you feel about being in a place where people can actually react publicly to your reviews and challenge your
yeah,
authority as a reviewer.
Yeah,
I mean, you were told.
Right.
Maybe I should just sum it
sure.
up for people who didn't
sum
read it.
I'll sum it up.
Okay, go for it.
It was a couple of quote Tex-Mex unquote restaurants in New York, which have just opened, and I pretty much panned them. And the comment sections, you know, there were comments mostly by Texans saying this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, which is fine. Okay. Fair enough. But they mostly preface it by, these places aren't that good. However, you clearly don't know what you're talking about.
So it's
clearly I hit a nerve. Like, you're right. Tex-Mex is not my forte. You're right. I have not spent years eating on the Texas border. You're right.
So do you get in there and respond to people's comments
no.
when that you
but
don't
some critics
ever.
Do. I don't, you know, if you're writing online, I don't know what you guys like. I read the comment section, but not assiduously.
For your mental health.
It's for my mental health. However, there's some like, Jerry Saltz, who's the art critic at New York. He loves to get in there.
Fire back.
Fire away.
Yeah. You
know.
Kind of want to.
I don't really want to.
Does it make you mad, though?
No.
I mean, do you?
No.
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 You just
it really
sort of
doesn't.
Kind of.
It really doesn't. It really doesn't.
Brush it off. That's good.
Well, you know, because the people who were, I think a couple of those critics had actually been to those places. And like, well, not critics, the commenters. The, like, they find, well, I like the tamale is okay. Or the enchilada is okay. Okay. Fine. I like the enchilada, too.
You did like the enchilada.
I didn't like anything else.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the queso.
Queso's, I love that queso. You know, these are also like, these were a certain kind of restaurants. You know,
yeah.
It is what it is. People love the star. Like in those reviews, if you read those reviews, if I put one star on both those things, nobody would complain.
It's so true.
Oh, it's so true. But the fact that I put no stars, which I read the review, okay? Don't look at the stars. And I've said that restaurant critics, I'm not going to say, speak for everybody, but stars are just a pain. They're a pain. Readers
but they
like
are
them.
What people look at first, right?
Readers look at them. Chefs look at them. When I started doing this, I didn't do stars. I didn't put stars in.
Mm-hmm.
It was an editorial decision, and so I created this star system. That's the other problem. You create this star system, and I think my star system was slightly weird and flawed, but I'm stuck with it.
Well, I mean, they're all subjective.
Maybe you should move to emojis.
You can't.
I like
emojis
it.
Emojis would be great. Yeah. But again, that's a star. It's a symbol, like five clappings of hands. Whatever. People are hooked on it, and it's like, I don't know.
You were just very delicately pushing away the two items that are in front of you.
Yeah.
But I think maybe we need to
what do we have here?
Address them.
Yeah.
So do you want to describe what you're seeing?
So what they've done here, what's happened here, is I have these two pretzel-like objects in front of me. They are New York pretzels, although one is a real New York pretzel, which looks like it's sort of pale and speckled with, you know, hydrated, some kind of hydrated chemical fake salt
it's
product.
A little green.
Yeah. I'm noticing.
I don't know what it is. It's clearly bought at a hot dog cart, and you put, you know, the only way you're going to survive it is by putting a bunch of mustard on it.
Which
and
we
then,
didn't bring.
And then you have this dark, sort of faintly, I wouldn't call it marbled, but it looks like it's been fresh baked and rolled, and it's got a nice twirl in it, and the salt is good, and it's dark and honey. You know, it looks a faint, you know, honeyed, and it looks Bavarian. Anyway, what do you want me to do here?
Are you willing to do a taste test and
yeah.
describe the,
you know
the tasting
you
notes?
You should do it with my eyes closed.
We were going to do that, but...
It's too boring. All right.
I just think it would be so obvious,
I'm going to take the ugly one here, the one that's clearly bought on a hot dog cart and is clearly hopeless.
Wow.
So, like, you look at it...
You can't even break
like
it apart.
Like, it's the tactile
crispy.
Quality, it's like you can't break it. It's clearly stale. If it was ever baked, it was baked probably several months ago. It breaks apart in a uniform plastic
manner.
Did we
have him sign the waiver?
Well, I'm going to get some comments on this one. So then you eat it. I actually like pretzels. The key to the New York pretzel from the cart is if it's warm or not. If it's warm, it's okay.
It was warm when we bought it.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair,
so it's
to
not,
the
you're not really
vendor.
Being fair to these characters.
That's
also,
true. We won't say who it is.
Also, get the Gouldens on there. So let's taste.
I know
it.
We should have brought you mustard.
All right. So that pretty much tastes pretty bad.
It looks a little cardboardy.
So basically, so the dough has this sort of neutral, flat. Non-yeasty, non-anything flavor, and it's overwhelmed by the salt, and the texture is horrible.
All right.
So that's that.
Let's hope the other one's better.
So this thing also seems a little elderly.
Mm-hmm. It was reheated, I will say. Oh. I was surprised at that.
So, you know what? It's got a lot of salt on it, and it's sort of chewy, so mm-hmm. let's taste it. It looks beautiful. I mean, it does. It's very enticing. You know what? It's a little better.
A little, but not much.
But it's just honey. Just got a better taste, honey. But it's not hot either.
I know. Maybe it was. It was. They both were.
I know.
Should have brought our little
I know that you're good
us.
Food people.
But the texture was... It wasn't that much better.
Well...
As he chokes.
You don't want to hear this, like, these hippo sounds. But it tastes better.
Do you have a favorite pretzel?
Sweeter.
In New York?
No.
No.
Let the record show I'm having a second bite of this one.
Of the artisanal bagel.
Yeah, it's nice
way.
And sweet. And
bagel, pretzel, not bagel.
So prepare yourself for more hippo sounds.
We should have had mustard.
Yeah, I know.
You got mustard.
Fail.
But then you got a different kind. Yeah. But
anyway, we didn't want to distract you from
this
the,
one.
The pure...
I've eaten a lot. Yeah, the old classics. I've eaten a lot of them. You rub the salt off, hope it's hot, and put a lot of mustard on it. And mm-hmm. also, I'll always break it off and then put the mustard. Like I used to eat them a certain way. Break it off and eat it from the middle out.
Really?
I did that. Yep.
Important tips.
I'm not very discriminating, actually.
Oh, yeah. We can
well,
tell.
Really, sort of. Anyway.
So,
yeah.
Have you ever been tempted to write an anonymous review yourself, like on something like Yelp, when you've just like
no.
had a really bad experience personally?
No.
No, really?
Yeah, really.
So do you ever use your status
no.
to... If you've had like a bad experience, not on the job, to kind of like make a comment on social media.
No,
you're just totally pure.
He's a better man than
I'm
Bridget.
Pretty,
have you ever done
do you,
that?
Do you do that?
I flame on Twitter. I also
you can
praise.
Do that.
I also praise.
Yeah,
on Twitter. I stay away from Yelp, but I use social media.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
were talking about this before.
You know, I just try and put it in the review, and it's my opinion, and it's quite usually quite measured, and leave it at that.
In the interest of, you know, injecting a little levity, more levity into this conversation, I did a little search online for some what I thought were pretty amusing Yelp reviews.
God, you and Yelp. What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's kind of
the
default,
symbol.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, carry on.
I think you'll find these amusing.
Okay.
And I have to thank BuzzFeed for providing these lists because they, you know, they're just...
BuzzFeed.
No one does a better job.
Nope.
But maybe we should just specify that this is a list of negative reviews of very highly regarded restaurants.
See, that's the thing. It's like they're probably right, but maybe they're having a bad day.
Yeah.
Not just a bad day, a bad hour.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm reviewing these restaurants and me, Pete, well, everybody, actually, you're reviewing them at a time where they're sort of at the top of their game and they will go downhill. And I don't go back to review
at that
very
stage,
much, but
yeah.
it is you. It is noticeable. All right, so this is called a helpful suggestion from Marty. And he's writing about he's writing about Alinea in Chicago and Next, which are, you know, probably top four most famous restaurants in the country. And you know what? I can see myself writing this.
But was it you?
In another time and place, especially if I just forked over $800 for my interesting looking but probably somewhat desiccated arrangement of dehydrated broccoli ends. All right. This is Marty in Chicago, and he gives it 1 star out of 5, which I think pretty good. 1 star in my crazy system means good. All right. I think Alinea and Next can stick their e-tickets up their butt. They charge a mortgage payment for the privilege to eat in hyped-up restaurants that are overrated. Suggestion to the owner, get over yourself. Signed, Marty. You know what? I have utmost respect for Marty. I can see how that would happen. Where's my hamburger is what Marty's saying. Where's my pretzel? You know what? Marty has a good point.
So this one is about some problems with flavors. This is the most pretentious restaurant I've ever been in. Cramped, overly rich, and if not rich, sickening. Some of the food smelled and tasted like parts of your body.
Yikes.
After not taking a shower for a week.
The unwashed masses.
Umami.
Sounds like a London critic. What's the restaurant?
That's what I'm trying to find out.
I think it's
French Laundry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
French Laundry.
Yeah. Fabulous.
There are quite a few on that. I think the next one is,
well,
too.
The thing is, like, these restaurants are all hyped up. You're, like, expecting something. And also, you're going there like a sort of, you know, you do shuffle into these places that get these reputations like sheep. And, you know, you look around going, what? What? What the heck? And like I said, we talked about sort of the gaseous, oh, you should have been there. It's all beautiful. It's all lovely. It's like, you know, sometimes.
Okay, so this is one more also French Laundry. This was a note about service. Had to try it once, I guess, but I don't plan to return. The very green sommelier didn't know the origination of several bottles of wine from neighboring Sonoma, no less. And the staff sang happy birthday to not one, but 2 different parties. What is this, TGI French Laundry? I want my $1,200 bucks back.
You know, see that guy or
Brandon
R. Brandon has been reading too many restaurant reviews.
Just
calm down, Brandon.
But they sang happy birthday twice.
So what?
I mean, come on.
Just come on.
Who do they think they are?
It's an international destination, Brandon. They are gouging.
We like
the
Marty.
Wine,
so. We like Marty. We hate Brandon.
I like Brandon. But you know, that's the thing. It's like, people tend to get these sort of highfalutin. People think they should be judgmental. I don't know. You're paying for the experience. You're probably not going to go back if you like it, right? It's too expensive. You're having the experience. I don't know, relax a little bit. But yeah,
but expectations are so much a part of it, right? It's so hard.
Yeah.
I know.
You know, you're on vacation.
I know.
You've saved up to go to this place. It's the highlight of your whole trip.
I know.
I think it's
but who can
it's
win
a tough
it?
Spot.
Who can win?
Exactly.
I know. You're both in.
No, it is a winless situation.
Yeah,
for both.
You know, one should know that these places change over time. Chefs come, chefs go.
Well, what did we do about that? Because when you wrote a review for me 4 years ago, it's not that I don't trust you, but I don't trust the place anymore.
Oh, yeah, well,
then what do I do?
I'm not going to say you're right to say that, but I'm going to say you have a point. So I think what you do is, I don't know what you do.
Can I have your number? I'm just going to call you on yourself.
The thing is, I haven't been back either.
Right.
In a perfect world, I would go back. And, you know, Pete Wells hasn't been back either. Or probably he's been back more than me. But I, you know, it's like, that is a perfectly valid point. And that's maybe where you do look at Yelp.
Yeah. This is where the value of crowdsourcing maybe kicks in.
Right. And that's like, that's what I'm saying. I can't really relate to it because I don't. Right. I think that is valuable, and there you look. You know, you've got to keep looking and look around.
It's like the graveyard of restaurants that go. You know, find them on Welp.
Yeah. Welp is good. This is the other thing about critics. The other thing about critics is that critics tend they travel in packs, especially when a place like French Laundry. You travel in packs. So everybody's will fall over themselves to sort of. You know, once one person loves it, everyone will fall over themselves to love it. I'm not saying this is true everywhere.
So we read some reviews of highbrow places, but I also brought along some really glowing reviews of fast food restaurants, which I thought might be kind of fun too. And maybe we can
also from Yelp.
This is a good way to wrap up. I think so. Yes. Do you want to tackle Taco Bell?
Okay. Taco Bell. Taco Bell in Greenwich Village, Manhattan.
There is one.
Taco Bell is great for when you want vaguely Mexican-flavored food like items to shove down your throat. That's not bad. Sober Me rates this Taco Bell 4 stars. Drunk Me rates it 6.9 stars. Add the hot sauce and you get 5 stars.
The person
clearly has a system, so I would probably go more on the Drunk Me side, like the really Drunk Me side.
Okay, we're going to take it down a notch. Mm-hmm. This is McDonald's. Mm-hmm. When all the cards are down, all hope lost, all self-dignity robbed, barren, and not a cent left to pay for 1 square foot of rent, you, the Poseidon of fast food poultry, emerge from the deep-fried depths of the hot sauce ocean atop a $5 hydra of drumsticks and batter to rescue those who cannot rescue themselves.
Mm. Are we talking about McNuggets there?
It says McDonald's, but it might...
No, I think it might be Popeyes. I think the labeling is confusing. I think that's actually an ode to Popeyes.
Beautiful.
You know, Popeyes, I mean Popeyes is pretty good.
Legit?
Yeah.
Well, no, I would... call it legit. I mean, the chefs that I know, and I don't know a lot of chefs, they love Popeyes.
Interesting.
I think there may be the drunk sober quotient there, but
that's
they love.
Right.
But Popeyes like the spice and the spice in it and the crunch makes up for other deficiencies. And it's always crunchy and sort of dry crunch. Kentucky Fried Chicken is actually sort of, I think there's more sophisticated seasoning in Kentucky Fried Chicken. I can't even believe I'm talking about this.
I love this.
But it gets wet and sort of greasy.
Yeah, it's very greasy,
and
I think.
You don't get that. That's not a problem with Popeyes.
Popeyes has it nailed on technique.
Yep.
And good to know.
And texture. And, yep. And it's good cold. And whatever. So.
This is a whole other side of you.
Yeah, yep.
Okay, so I have White Castle, which I feel like is another place that people are obsessed with, and I've never quite gotten.
I don't get it either.
You can't say anything. You can't say anything because you will then be deemed.
People are going to comment and tell me I don't know what I'm talking
about. He doesn't know
anything,
yeah.
Well, I'm reading someone else's review.
All right, it's all good.
This is not me. But someone thinks this of the White Castle in Borough Park, Brooklyn. The meat is questionable for sure, but there's just something about these little baby-sized burgers that are so good. Maybe it's the novelty of eating food that makes your hand look giant-sized in comparison. Maybe it's the chicken rings that are peppered with crack.
You know.
I like that one.
It's good. And I think you're right. We're all critics. Well, in food,
definitely.
Like you think about it, when you're being the critic, right? When everyone's a critic, there's no topic that's closer to one's heart than food. Right.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, all these opinions are valid, and they actually I'd listen to them. So you've reformed me. I will now occasionally look at Yelp.
Read it before bed every
right?
night.
Oh well, go that far, but I will.
Adam, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, ladies. Yeah. It was a pleasure.
Except
for these pretzels.
You have to take those home.
I'm not taking them anywhere.
We're going to give you a doggy bag.
Gack.
And thanks, Bridget, for joining me today. That's it for this episode of Burnt Toast. Our producer is Tim Einenkel. Thanks also to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. Please let us know what you think of the show. Our Twitter handle is @food52, and you can email us at editors@food52.com. If you like the show, please tell everyone you know, and make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. And if you have any reviews you think are particularly insightful or funny, we want to see them. So tweet at us or Instagram photos using the hashtag F52podcast, and we'll retweet or regram our favorites. For Adam Platt and Bridget Williams, I'm Meryl Stubbs. We'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.